Feed and Fatigue is centered around, quoted, everyday absurdities of life under capitalism. How would you explain this to someone who hasn't heard the album yet?
A lot of the songs kind of talk about, you know, things getting more expensive or just some problems with government in Australia and other countries as well. That is a pretty vague statement that encapsulates like all of the songs. Some of them have more serious topics in them and some of them are just taking the piss a bit.
I mean, I love the track Mitsubishi Pills. I was wondering, is there a Bellevue Hill down in Wollongong as well? Or or is it about Bellevue Hill in the eastern suburbs?
That's definitely about the Sydney suburb.
Nice.
We don't have Bellevue.
That's
funny. Yeah, I kind of thought that was a bit of a funny rhyme.
Like, Tony Dancer and his hot pink Lancer. Was that another one?
Yes, there is. God, that song is so packed full of little zingers.
Yeah.
Like it stems from a somewhat loaded critique about the Brett Whiteley Traveling Art Scholarship recipients. That kind of where that song is kind of coming from, and it's just making fun of like contemporary art and elitism and drug use and, you know, different perceptions on drug use depending on class, stuff like that. It's got heaps of metaphors in that song. It's pretty crazy.
This isn't your debut album or anything, so what did you find that was different when recording Speed and Fatigue versus your debut album, Australian Dream?
We recorded Australian Dream at The Brain in Sydney with Clayton and Angie, and they are super awesome people. And we recorded this album with Jeremy Player. He is in a band called Bimbo at the moment.
Oh, that's fun.
But he also was in a band who don't play as frequently now called the Pinheads. We've known him for a long time, and he has a recording studio set up at Stanmore Park, which is not too far from where we live. So the main difference is just the environment that we recorded in. The Brain is a fantastic studio, and we'll probably go back there at some point, but Jez's studio, it's called the Shed Laboratory.
Fun.
It's kind of sat back in the bush a little bit, so just, and there's like horses on the property and stuff, so it's just a bit of a different experience.
Yeah, that sounds nice. So was it like a collaborative effort, the album, like with the whole band, or was it more like yourself and somebody else, or what?
We are a refined jam band. We record all of our jams at home and review those jams, and then, you know, like make songs out of them, and, you know, add parts and blah blah blah. So when we go to the studio, it's usually pretty prepared in that way, but it's fully collaborative within the band.
Do you does everyone like contribute to the lyricism or like that kind of aspect of it, or
sometimes what's the track listing of this record? Pay Your Tick is one. On there, me and James, like the bass player, we wrote that together, and all the lyrics, and also the track called Do It we wrote together as well, which is a bit more fun lyrically than something like Mitsubishi Pills.
Well, so there is Hot Shot. So on the track Hot Shot, there are guest vocals from Phoebe Price of Private Wives, who is also from Wollongong. How did you decide you wanted to collaborate with Price?
Well, she plays in Private Wives, and we have played together a whole bunch and really like their music, and I think for that song I just really wanted some sing-along chanting kind of thing going on, and I was thinking about like the B-52s when I was writing that. Bringing her in just kind of made sense.
Yeah, that's really fun that, like, you know, like, you can have this community around you in Wollongong. Speaking of that, you've run all ages festivals such as All of Us, Crown Street Takeover, Hoonfest, and the Gong Crawl in your hometown. Why do you think that all ages events are important to the community and the greater, like, garage, rock, punk kind of scene?
It changes over time, but like when we first started playing music, we would always go to, like when I was a child, is what I mean, we would always go to the youth centre or community centres to watch some punk shows.
Yeah.
And when we first started doing the festivals, that wasn't really much of a thing. There's not a lot of access for all ages music, even in Sydney, really.
Yeah,
there's some places.
Isn't. Yeah.
But it was not common then. I think the first All of Us was in 2020. So we got some Music New South Wales funding, and then we did the first one of them. And
yeah,
but it's when the culture of music is bar oriented, it makes it really hard for young people to have performance opportunities and stuff like that in their youth. And
yeah,
it's kind of important, I think, to get stage experience and have points of access, I suppose, like for young people to be able to perform. Because if they get, you know, like a bug for playing live, as in like they experience it and they enjoy it, like that lust, the lust for stuff like that, I think, develops more strongly when you're young.
Yeah.
And you're more likely probably to pursue music if you get in early, and you know that lust is is thrust upon you. So, and like venues, like there's a bunch of venues that are interested in hosting all ages stuff. Like in Wollongong, La La La's does some.
Oh,
but, like, realistically, like, everyone knows that alcohol just supports live music venues. In New South Wales, it's either alcohol or pokies.
Yeah.
And
not
they kind of need
just
that
the music.
To survive. Hey?
It's never just the music.
No, it can't be. It's not possible.
So you have, I wanted to talk about this as well as your album, because it seems like really interesting and important, and you have a not-for-profit organization, Speed Drive, incorporated. Do you want to tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, that kind of, like, I guess that really begun by doing those all-ages festivals, and each year it's kind of progressed, but we did two Gong Crawls.
Oh, cool.
In like one in 2022 and 2024, and with the 2024 one, it was really successful. So it sounds simple to say, but we just started a not-for-profit organization so we could scale the festival, and be able to apply for organization funding and stuff like that. So we did that, and that worked. So here we are with Speed Drive.
Yeah, I think that's really awesome that you guys are doing that alongside like your own stuff. Like, I'm sure making an album is a lot of effort. How long did it take you guys to to produce this album?
It's hard to say.
Yeah.
Two of those songs were being written when we recorded the last album, and they just never worked and they weren't finished, and we just left them behind, kind of thing. And then we picked them up again. And so, like, realistically, we probably focused on writing this record in maybe a month, and then we recorded it in like a little bit less than 2 weeks.
Oh, that's really good. Because it's like, it's.
So, yeah, it depends. It depends how you look at it.
Yeah. That's fair.
Because, like, everything with music is a, you know, a slow, progression of things that you do.
Yeah.
Or things that you have done and things that you are doing, and also things that you will do. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because we record all the jams that we have, sometimes, things get revisited, or, you know, maybe the time wasn't right, or the album was, not appropriate for like a particular song or something like that. So
yeah, fair. Oh, that's cool.
Hot Shot is actually one of those songs that we were first started jamming in, like, probably 2020.
Oh, okay. So it's been with you for a while.
And it was the last to get finished recorded.
It's always the way. It's always the way. Do you think that because, like, you do, like, record your jams and you do, like, that is how you make your music, the lyricism would come out of what is happening in everyday life, which is maybe why the album is focused around, around the themes of, like, you know, the edge of burnout, debt, and disillusionment, and so forth?
Yeah, I think it like, a lot of the lyrics that I did for this record were, like, written essentially in real time.
Yeah, totally. Like, that's really awesome.
Because of the jamming and stuff like that with the writing, the songs are changing a lot. So you can get, like, for me, I can get lyrics and melody and stuff during the jams, but I can't really, like, concrete in lyrics until the structure of the song is identified.
Yeah.
As such. So, yeah, kind of like writing more to the song now than like what I used to do previously, which is just already have some poem and some melody and then adapt that to what the guys are playing. Now I kind of write with a bit more intent for the song.
Yeah.
That's specifically.
That's really cool. Do you have, do you personally have your own favourite song off the album that you want people to check out?
I like what we're playing. I like them based off how we play them live and, like, what they feel like live. I like Rinsed heaps.
Yeah.
And probably Transporting would be my two favourite to play live.
Nice. I love the music video for Transporting. It's got, like, such, like, a DIY, like, vibe to it.
James, filmed it and edited all that.
That's awesome.
Turned out really good.
Yeah. It's so cool. And is that's down in Wollongong where you guys recorded that?
Yeah, it's in my lounge room, like, where I'm sitting right now.
Oh, my God.
Talking to you.
Love that. It's, like, true DIY. There's no fake DIY going on there.
Yeah, no, just move the couches out of the way and set up the green screen. We'll be right back.
Nice. Is that monkey your own monkey? Like, that
random... Oh, the secret monkey.
So funny.
That's a little bit of, what do you call that? Editing
magic
skills. You'd be surprised how difficult those monkeys are to acquire.
Yeah, I mean, like, its eyes are so crazy.
They're very, very expensive, and I feel like I have seen one at someone's house, but
you don't want to stay at that house too long though.
Nah, I'd leave with the monkey. There's no way you wouldn't.
So you are touring this album not only in Australia but also Europe. So what kind of like venues did you go to, like more underground venues, or like did you guys do many festivals?
This tour we didn't play any festivals this tour. They were all like, what do they call them? Clubs or just venues, like pretty much like 300 cap and under.
Yeah,
but
that's really special.
Mostly venues around like 150 capacity or something.
Yeah.
And then some more abstract kind of DIY spaces as well.
Yeah,
they have
sick.
Quite a lot of, like, Europe's pretty crazy for that kind of stuff.
I've heard. I would love to go.
Like, there's a lot of really awesome venues that you can play at that are either illegal and the cops don't seem to give a shit, or they call them like cultural associations. So that could be like independently run and operated, or it could be like a government subsidized space.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. Like, where we have youth centers that might have live music at them.
Yeah.
That are run by the government, they'll have like government subsidized small bars that like are meant to be for, they're meant to be for like, you know, inspiring youth and getting them involved in arts and culture and stuff, but they're bars.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I feel like Europe is just like so awesome. It just sounds like such a fun time. But I mean, now that you're back, where can we catch you playing live next?
We will. The first show of the tour is right near you. It's at the Troc in Sydney on August 15th.
Awesome. And for the listener at home, that is the Trocadero Room in Enmore. On the 15th of August, you were saying. So with the bands that are on the lineup, can you tell us like a bit more about that? Do you know like who's playing with you?
Yeah. Good Ramen.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Scum Fu. And the Salty Tenders.
Yeah, awesome. That sounds like such a good lineup of like local acts as well.
I'm pretty stoked. I haven't seen Good and Ramen or Scumfu yet, so I'm super keen. I really like their music and
heard
some pretty good things about them. We've played with Salty Tenders before, and they're real nice people. So
yeah,
super keen to see them again as well.
Cool. Oh, that's so fun. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to have a chat with me here on Feed My Frankenstein on 2SER. You can catch Hoon's show on Friday the 15th of August at the Trocadero Room from what time are you guys on from, Dan? 7?
Doors at 7.
Yeah, awesome. So head on down there, and where can people get the tickets for that to support live music?
Wearehoon.com.
Amazing. Super easy. Remember that. Wearehoon.com to secure your tickets.